Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. There is little doubt that we are in a pivotal moment as a country, as we not only confront racial injustice in policing, but also reevaluate and begin to dismantle the structures of systemic racism that exist in our society. One thing that's clear is the tremendous role and responsibility that younger generations are going to have in building that future of racial justice and equality. And in that lies a great responsibility with parents right now. How do we talk to our kids about race and all that's going on in America during this crucial moment? It's challenging, but it's also critically important right now. So joining us to talk about how, when, and why we must talk to our children about race and racism is Dr. Cynthia Langtu. She's professor of clinical psychology at the Chicago School of Professional Psychology. Hello, Professor Langtu. Welcome to the 21st.
Thank you so much for having me. This is such an important conversation. I'm glad to be part of it.
Well, and we're really grateful that you could join us today. And we also want to invite parents, if you're listening, we want you to join our conversation. How are you talking to your kids about race and racism in this moment? Or maybe if you're not sure how to, you have a question for our guest, Cynthia Langtu, give us a call. The number is 800-222-9455. That number again is 800-222-9455. You can also tweet us at 21st Show. Professor Langtu, at what age do kids come into an understanding about the concept of race?
Yeah, that's such an important question. Thank you. And I love that you're not asking should, but you're asking how, because our kids know, our kids understand what's going on. And so research shows that as young as 3 and 4, that children start noticing phenotypics. So that's, you know, physical features of skin color difference. And that by 5 years old, though, by kindergarten, they have an internalized understanding of how the system works with respect to differences between different groups and that power differential between different groups. So they start noticing race really young, 3 and 4 years old differences, but they start noticing racism as a system at play with power differentials as young as kindergarten. So we should be having these conversations really early because they're having those conversations with themselves. And the earlier we can enter the conversations with them, the more that they'll come up with grounded ways of thinking about differences and how to manage those differences. So really young.
Yeah, and I wonder, can you describe how does a child, that's so fascinating, in kindergarten, how does a child perceive from, you know, to the best we can understand it and explain it from a child's perspective, how does a child perceive racism in kindergarten?
Yeah, so it might be that, you know, if they've never had toys at their home where that, you know, represent the different hues, they might choose to play with certain toys and value, you know, toys that look like the toys at their home more than other toys, right? Hmm. And so that's one way that we notice in their play. You might notice that in classroom where there's a diversity of students, that students will tend to not only play, especially in kindergarten, with those who look like them, but with those who are the same gender as them. And so they notice a difference. And then there's the better, worse. So they come up with those ideas, and that's reflected in the larger system. So if they see on television or they see in spaces that certain people that look a certain way tend to be valued more, they'll live that out in their play, they'll live that out in their classroom, right? And so they'll place value on those who look like those that have value placed on them in the larger system. So that's how it looks, even that early.
And I just want to remind parents, our phone lines are open and the number to call is 800-222-9455. If you have a question for our guest, Professor Cynthia Langtu, who teaches clinical psychology at the Chicago School of Professional Psychology, or if you'd like to share maybe about how you're talking to your kids about racism during this crucial time, give us a call, 800-222-9455, 800-222-9455. Professor, I recognize that conversations that Black parents and other parents of color may be having with their children about race is going to be different from the conversations that white parents may be having or should be having with their kids about race. And I wonder if you have any thoughts about that.
I do. So I am a Black parent, you know, a daughter of Haitian immigrants. And I, you know, I have two boys who are 14, one will be 12 next week. And I think about the conversations around safety that I've had with them about Connect, and many other Black parents have had these conversations. And I think what's interesting is that when I talk to some of my non-Black friends about that, they're surprised that I would be concerned for the safety of my kids with respect to law enforcement or in other systems. But when I talk to my Black friends, there's no surprise. There's a sense that this is the kind of conversation that you have to keep your Black presenting voice safe. So there's that piece. And I would also say that for some of my non-Black friends, that there's a hesitation to have a conversation around race and racism because they're not sure what to say. So that's a big piece of it. So I'd say across the board that as parents, it's really important for us to do our own work so that we enter the conversations that our kids are already having with themselves with curiosity and confidence, right? So for, you know, non-Black parents who are out there wondering, should I? Yes, you should. And if you're not sure, to go out and find resources about how, like, what do I say to them? How do I ask them questions? And it really is opening up the space for that. And I find that books and other resources, there's so many resources out there, and I can offer a couple that you can send out that offer ways to talk to your kids. But I would say it starts off with doing your own work, knowing that this is an important topic to talk about, both race and racism, and opening up those spaces for your kids to be able to talk about them. And to talk about, I think the discomfort sometimes about talking about race and racism is that we don't want to scare our kids into thinking that there are people out to harm them and that are individually racist, and that may happen. But I think what's helpful sometimes is to talk about the system of racism, right? And one that's been created and one that so many, right, across movements are working to dismantle, right? So that people aren't hurt by the system of racism and a system that's at work. And that system is unfair. And kids really get the idea of fairness, right? They really glom onto that. And so we can point out unfair situations that happen as a result of the system and things that we as a family are doing that they can do, but that our larger a larger work is being done around that. So those are some of the things that we can do to enter those conversations across the board. But it is a significant difference. Black parents have been having this conversation for a very long time. And I know many non-Black parents have as well, but many, many more families are having these conversations in light of the racial tensions that have arisen in the last couple of weeks. And I think that's a really important opportunity that we have before us.
Yeah, and we'd love to share out those resources on our website with this, you know, when we post this conversation after the show. That's 21stshow.org, and also we'll tweet out some of those links that you're sharing with us at 21st Show. That's 21st Show. And you know, you mentioned this, and I also just want to direct our listeners, if they missed it, on Monday we had a conversation with the author of a book called White Fatigue about this. I think some of the ideas you were alluding to, white fragility, the sort of lack of confidence that sometimes people who are white, as I am, can have in these conversations about race, and therefore they just kind of choose to avoid them. I wonder if you can also talk about the different ages of kids. And I'm glad you mentioned the idea, because I think a lot of parents are also afraid of, you know, they want to talk to kids about these concepts of injustice and privilege and you know, acknowledge those realities, but they don't want to leave their children frightened. You know, they want to leave them feeling empowered instead of scared and helpless. And I would imagine that this approach differs if you're talking about a 4-year-old versus an 8-year-old or and a 12-year-old and a 16-year-old. And I wonder if you can talk about those differences.
Thank you for that question as well. So it does vary, you know, across the lifespan. And I think wherever you start, so I think some parents might be saying, well, perhaps I should have started having my, you know, kid is 16. Perhaps I should have been having these conversations earlier. It's never too late to start, right? And I think the thing to remember is your child is already having that conversation with themselves. So wherever they are, find out where they are and meet them there. And so I would say there are resources. So Ibram Kendi just came out with a version of his book, Stamped, with Jason Reynolds. That is a book for young people around thinking about the system of racism. So how can you read that book together, you know, with your 16-year-old? I think about the film 13th, you know, that's a film that's available and accessible to, you know, young people, as well as Howard Zinn's Young People's History of the U.S. So having these books around for some of our older children to read and for us to discuss together, those are important starting points. Finding out where they are developmentally, and meeting them where they are. And so some of our younger, and the idea of fear is a really important one, right? They can feel like perhaps I'm at risk, right? And so, you know, particularly for our kids, we're at home right now, it's easier to keep them at home, letting them know that as always, that you're going to do your best to help keep them safe, right? And that they are able to be safe. And the things that they're learning about these larger systems are ways of helping to keep other people safe as well. And so having the confidence yourself to be uncomfortable in having that conversation is really important. I think the other piece is presenting to them the struggles, you know, that racism has caused people of color in the US in particular, Black people in the US in particular, but the fullness of humanity, that across time and space, that there's been everyday lives of Black folks, you know, who have shined and blossomed. But then also that there have been non-Black folks across time and space who have always helped in the struggle along the way. And that there's been solidarity across movements. There's always been solidarity, and that there will continue to be solidarity. Also, that there is action that they can take now, right? In, you know, light of what's happened recently, you know, children can go out and speak out about what they see as unfair. So if there's something in their classroom, they can speak out, you know, go to the administration so you can teach them how to do that. If there's something that in their neighborhood that they see that's unfair, they can speak out on that level, or they can write a letter to, you know, one of their congresspeople. So teaching them about the fullness of humanity, that folks have struggled across time and space with respect to racism, but also have everyday lives that they've lived, right? And that there have been non-Black folks all along history that have helped and continue to help and can help, and that they can find their entree point anywhere along the way. And to help them manage, especially during this time, the uncertainty. And I think that we do that best as we model how to move through uncertainty and uncomfortable conversations with them, that we ourselves as parents are doing the work of sitting with our discomfort and moving through our discomfort so that we can model it for them, so that when we sit and talk to them about these issues and have conversations, that we are approaching it with curiosity and confidence.
This is The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Professor Cynthia Langtu, who is a professor of clinical psychology at the Chicago School of Professional Psychology. Our phone lines are open, 800-222-9455. And there's only about 4 minutes left in our conversation and so much more to talk about here. I want to ask you about the issue of implicit bias, right? This is obviously a problem when it comes to race, and there are factors like our upbringings, what, you know, how we're socialized, what we're taught from our parents and teachers that inform that bias. And I wonder if you can talk about how much kids learn from their parents just by observation and being around them, and, you know, how we as parents can recognize and reverse that and try to prevent our children from developing it or picking up on biases we have that we may not even be aware of.
Yeah, wonderful question. Yes, our children pick up on our biases, and we all have them. You know, across the board, we have implicit biases, which means that there are ways that we are influenced by these larger systems of racism that we don't even recognize. So I think one way is to make sure that your children are exposed to lots of different people. And I know some of you who are listening don't live in very diverse areas, right? And so that can be difficult to do. So finding opportunities where you are able to, as families, meet different types of people and truly engage. Another level of that, right, is having books in your home, the media that you watch, being aware of what your children see and who they see represented and in what roles those people are represented in all of the media to which they are exposed. And so, and then making sure that you have books in your home that really helps speak to the struggles that people of color in particular have experienced around racism, but also the everyday joyful lives of people across different ethnic backgrounds and races, so that your children have a sense of the fullness of humanity. You know, there are lots of people who experience struggle. In the US, there's a specific struggle of Black people with respect to racism, but then Black people also have full lives, right? And all of our neighbors have full lives. And seeing that can be really helpful in adding to the story. So part of the challenge of implicit bias is it's strengthened by only having a singular perspective. And the more multiple perspectives that we have as a family and that we offer to our children, right, the less our implicit bias will be, the less their implicit bias will be. So exposure in so many different ways, right, can be really helpful.
And just briefly, and we've got only about 30 seconds left, but if there are parents out there who maybe want to involve their children in the ongoing protests against police brutality and racial injustice, do you have any advice?
I do. I would say that there's a really lovely book written by three psychologists, Something Happened in Our Town, A Child's Story About Racial Injustice. So I would say being specific about why they want to participate, what it is that they see, and helping them come up with strategies of how they're going to do it. So they're making the signs, they're coming up with the words that they want to use, but that you're having conversations with them as they use them, as they go into protest mode. Also that there are many different ways to protest. Sure, being out last Saturday, there were tons of folks out protesting on the streets. And so parents can encourage their kids as a family to do that. But there are other ways too. You can protest by speaking out when you see an injustice at school. You can protest by speaking out and write a letter to a congressperson. You can protest by speaking out one-on-one with your friends. There are so many different levels. We can model that for our children, and we can go out there with them and support them as they speak.
And I'm afraid we have to leave it there. We will tweet out some of the resources you mentioned at 21st Show. Professor Cynthia Langtu of the Chicago School of Professional Psychology, thank you so much for being with us here on the 21st. More to come after a short break.